ACT Radio is taped and produced at the KTEP studios at the University of Texas at El Paso. The views and opinions expressed on ACT Radio are solely those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KTEP, its staff, or management.
Welcome to ACT Radio, Animal Concerns of Texas. I'm Greg Lawson.
I'm Tom Linney.
And I'm Liz Walsh.
Here on ACT, we discuss how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
And we also discuss why a plant-based diet is the healthiest for humans and also the best thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, if you're concerned about your health, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas. Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with Matt Rice of Mercy for Animals. He's the director of investigations there, and we'll talk about some of the recent investigations at dairy farms that his group has been doing. But first, some news.
TheExaminer.com reports that grass-fed beef is not more ecologically friendly than factory-farmed cows. Grass-fed beef is all the rage among meat eaters these days who believe that eating grass-fed cows is not only healthier but better for the environment than livestock raised on factory farms. Grass-fed cows emit up to 400% more methane than grass-fed cows, according to an environmental specialist with the World Bank's IFC Environment and Social Development Department. They also take up much more land and water because they take longer to grow. The World Bank Committee also takes issue with the claims made by the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization that 18% of the world's man-made greenhouse gas emissions comes from livestock production. In reality, that figure is actually closer to 51%, according to the World Bank Committee. According to Dr. Jude Capper, an assistant professor of dairy sciences at Washington State University, grass-fed beef does as much harm to the earth as factory-farmed cows. According to Capper, there's a perception that grass-fed animals are frolicking in the sunshine, kicking up their heels full of joy and pleasure. What they actually found was that from the land use basis, from the energy, from water, and particularly based on carbon footprints, grass-fed is far worse than corn-fed. The reason is that raising grass-fed cows is inefficient and results in more water and land usage and produce more waste in the long haul. While the grass-fed versus factory-farm debate rages on, one thing is clear. Raising livestock for food is environmentally costly, and a plant-based diet is far better for the environment than a meat-centric one.
Consumer Reports last month reported that it had found worrisome levels of inorganic arsenic, a cancer-causing agent, in rice and a number of rice products consumed widely in the U.S., and called for the federal government to set limits on arsenic in rice. The consumer group tested more than 200 rice products and found varying levels of arsenic, including some that it termed significant. Consumer Reports stated that rice grown in Arkansas, Louisiana, Missouri, and Texas generally had higher levels of total arsenic than rice samples from elsewhere in the world. These states I just named are the top poultry-producing states as well. Late last month, three Arkansas rice farming operations filed suit against pharmaceutical giant Pfizer, Tyson Foods, Inc., and three other Arkansas poultry producers, alleging arsenic found in Arkansas rice is caused by the use of chicken manure as fertilizer. 2 million pounds of arsenic-containing chemicals are fed to chickens each year in the United States. When tens of thousands of birds are crammed into filthy football field-sized sheds to lie beak-to-beak in their own waste, they can become so heavily infested with internal parasites that adding arsenic to the feed to poison the bugs can result in an increase in growth rates. Arsenic can also give the carcass a pinkish tinge, which consumers prefer. Earlier this year, researchers at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health found levels of arsenic in chicken feather meal up to 10 times that just found in rice. Feather meal is made from the billion pounds of feathers plucked from chicken carcasses annually, sometimes with heads, guts, manure, and feet thrown in to increase the protein content. And then that's fed to farmed fish, pigs, cattle, and poultry, That's right. Chickens are fed their own manure. It's also used to fertilize both conventional and organic crops, and it increases the arsenic level in the soil. Though arsenic-based feed additives have been banned in Europe for over a decade, they continue to be legal in the United States.
The national nonprofit Animal Legal Defense Fund filed a class action lawsuit in California Superior Court against Judy's Farm Organic Eggs, Judy's Eggs, and Petaluma Egg Farm for violating California's consumer protection laws. ALDF's complaint targets the packaging used by these egg producers, which leads consumers to mistakenly believe the egg came from free-range hens. This deceptive marketing violates California's unfair competition law, false advertising law, and Consumer Legal Remedies Act, which prohibit unfair and deceptive advertising. ALDF, along with the law firm of Fazio Micheletti, is asking the court to prevent Judy's Eggs from using images that imply its products come from non-confined hens in an outdoor environment. Cartoons of Judy's Eggs feature an image of hens roaming about an expansive green field. The packages contain a written message that states hens are raised in wide open spaces in Sonoma Valley, where they are free to roam, scratch, and play. In reality, the hens are crammed into covered sheds with no outdoor access. Implying their hens are free-range when they are not provides an unfair advantage over actual free-range egg producers and also cheats consumers. Americans spend more for higher levels of animal welfare because they find the suffering of egg-laying hens objectionable. Many, like California resident Camilla Glover, one of the plaintiffs co-filing the complaint, are willing to pay more for perceived improvement in animal treatment. Deceptive packaging like that on Judy's Eggs allows the company to profit from misleading well-intentioned customers. The suit names Stephen Mart of Petaluma Egg Farm, a large egg production, packaging, and marketing company located in Petaluma, California. Mart's company distributes its eggs regionally at such stores as Safeway, Whole Foods, Oliver's Market, and El Cerrito Natural Grocery. ALDF filed the case as a class action lawsuit on behalf of all the consumers who bought Judy's eggs under the mistaken belief that the hens can roam outdoors. This allows all harmed consumers to recoup monetary damages that could total millions of dollars and send a strong signal to the industry that misrepresentations about animal welfare will not be tolerated. You can learn more about the lawsuit at ALDF.org. And stay with us to learn more about other deceptive farm practices as we have a conversation with Matt Rice, Director of Investigations at Mercy for Animals.
Welcome back to Animal Concerns of Texas. Joining us now on the show, Matt Rice of Mercy for Animals. Thank you for being with us today, Matt.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Matt, can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got involved in animal issues?
Well, yeah, I think like most people, I've always been concerned about animals. You know, I've always been the kind of person who would object to animal abuse, people kicking dogs or, you know, kids setting cats on fire, those kinds of things. But I never really thought about, you know, the majority of animals, these farmed animals who most of us ever really get to meet three times a day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, until I saw footage of how animals are treated on factory farms and in slaughterhouses. It really shocked me. It opened my eyes to the suffering that I was causing through my own diet. And I think really the point that stuck with me was, you know, I love my dog with all of my heart. I would never let anybody hurt her. And yet here I was paying other people to abuse animals in horrific ways every time I sat down to eat. And that kind of opened my eyes. That thought made me realize that that's not the kind of person that I wanted to be. I didn't want to be contributing to this kind of suffering. And so I decided to go vegan. And the more I got involved with the animal protection movement, volunteering with different organizations, you know, I never looked back. And I think one of the most powerful things that we can do is open people's eyes to the suffering that's involved in animal agriculture by showing people these videos from undercover investigations. I think the reason that a lot of this suffering happens is because most people simply have no idea what's happening behind the closed doors of factory farms and slaughterhouses.
Let's hope that's the case. It seems like there's so much information lately about what goes on at farms, and it seems like people are turning a blind eye to the information, but I hope I'm wrong on that.
Can you tell us about some of your recent investigations you've been working on?
Well, the most recent investigation that we released was at an investigation we did at Betancourt Dairies, the largest dairy in Idaho. And Idaho is now actually the third largest dairy producing state in the country. They've just been expanding their dairy production. And we documented horrifying abuses. Workers punching, kicking, dragging cows by their necks using chains attached to tractors. Just horrific violence and cruelty. We presented this evidence in detailed legal complaint to authorities. Three of the workers were charged with criminal cruelty to animals, including a manager. And we also linked this company to a number of major food providers, including Burger King and Kraft and Wendy's. And we've been talking with them in the last month or so behind the scenes, trying to get them to improve their animal welfare standards, have common sense measures in place, zero tolerance for animal abuse, dropping suppliers that have been caught on tape abusing animals. And we've had some success with Kraft. They've actually agreed to a number of important animal welfare improvements, including an end-to-tail docking. That's where they actually cut through the sensitive skin, nerves, and tailbone of cows without any painkillers. This is a practice that has no purpose, and yet it's the vast majority of dairy cows in this country have their tails cut off at a young age. Kraft has agreed to require all of its suppliers to end this practice. So that's a good step in the right direction. Obviously, it doesn't end all of the suffering inherent in dairy production, but a good start. Unfortunately, though, Burger King has refused to implement any meaningful animal welfare policies or procedures, so we're encouraging people to go to our website, burgerkingcruelty.com. You can see the video there, see what we've documented, and also sign a petition asking Burger King to take steps to help prevent some of the worst forms of animal abuse in the dairy industry.
Now, Matt, it's kind of interesting because a lot of people that are vegetarian continue eating dairy products because they think the animal isn't harmed, and yet you're telling us there's a lot of cruelty involved in the dairy industry. Can you explain some of the cruelty that's involved for those people that may be vegetarian because they think that cows are these happy animals getting milked every night to release pressure that has to be taken off?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I'm talking about when I say that most people have no idea what's happening at these facilities. And there's a lot of cruelty that's inherent in the dairy industry. Cows are mammals, so like dogs and cats and rats and even humans, all other mammals, they only produce milk when they're pregnant or nursing. So in the dairy industry, they're kept in this constant cycle of pregnancy and lactation, which takes a huge toll on their bodies. They're also oftentimes pumped full of hormones, so they produce even more milk than they would normally. And so after about 4 or 5 years of this constant birthing and pregnancy and lactation, their bodies are so worn out, they're considered spent. A cow might live 20, 25 years normally, but in the dairy industry, after about 4 or 5 years, they're considered spent. A lot of times these animals are called downers. They're so sick that they're unable to even walk on their own, and at that point they're sent to slaughter. They end up as hamburger in this country. Another consequence of keeping cows in this constant cycle of pregnancy is there are a lot of baby cows born, surplus calves. Males, since they'll never produce milk, are either sold immediately to calf ranches, kept in these tiny boxes until they're old enough to be sold for beef, usually at about 6 months of age, or to veal farms. A lot of people understand the cruelty inherent in veal production, but don't understand that the veal industry is the dairy industry. It's how the dairy industry disposes of unwanted male calves. So there's a lot of cruelty just inherent in dairy production, but also any time that people are viewing animals as commodities, as things to be bought and sold and to be profited from, they're going to be putting profit ahead of animal welfare. They're going to be cutting corners, trying to maximize profits and minimize costs, and it's almost always going to be at the expense of animal welfare. So every time we go into one of these facilities, we also document, in addition to these standard industry practices that are cruel, we also document extreme violence and cruelty from these workers who are viewing these animals as things, as products, and have very little regard for their welfare. In fact, this is the fourth dairy investigation we've done in the country, and it's also the fourth that has led to criminal animal cruelty charges whenever we brought the video evidence to law enforcement. So 4 for 4 of the dairy farms we've investigated across the country have led to criminal cruelty to animals charges.
But it always seems like the dairies involved say this was an isolated incident and it's not typical of the dairy industry.
Well, of course, they have a profit motive to try to distance themselves from illegal violence. They're trying to market a product. So, of course, you want to tell your customers that, yeah, everything's great. And, you know, these happy cow commercials want to convince people that these cows are out in these grassy fields enjoying life. But our undercover videos show a stark difference to that. These animals are kept in filthy lots, oftentimes indoors for the vast majority of their life. The Betancourt dairies that we saw, completely coated with filth and feces, so much so that these animals were slipping and falling and injuring themselves in their own feces, standing in up to a foot of water almost constantly. Animals whose udders had grown so large from constant milk production and hormone injections that they were unable to walk anymore. So just horrific cruelty and violence going on in these industries behind the scenes that people don't see. And so our investigations, our goal is to kind of draw back the curtain of the animal agriculture industry and be the eyes and ears for the public and show them what's happening when these industries don't think that anyone is watching.
What has happened as a result of the ag gag laws? In other words, the laws that prevent people from doing undercover work and photographing what happens at farms. Has that affected your investigations?
It has, and in kind of two different ways. These ag gag bills are being introduced in states across the country at the behest of the factory farming industry, who has a lot of power, a lot of money, and a lot of political might, and kind of these corrupt politicians trying to push these laws through in different ways. All of their goals are the same, which is to stop undercover investigations at factory farms. They know this is the biggest threat to the industry right now. If the public sees how these industries are treating animals, they're outraged every single time. Study after study shows that people reduce their meat consumption, they go vegetarian, they go vegan, they stop supporting these industries once they see what's happening at these farms. And so the only recourse that these industries have now is to go to their friends in the legislatures in these states and get them to introduce bills that would criminalize undercover investigation. Last year, 10 states introduced what are called ag gag bills. These bills were defeated in 8 states as unconstitutional. A lot of media outlets were outraged because what they were trying to do was make it a crime not only to document cruelty to animals at factory farms, but also to possess or distribute pictures or videos of how animals are treated on factory farms, which, you know, violates freedom of speech, but it also violates freedom of the press. The press would be criminals for even reporting on animal abuse at factory farms. So a lot of media outlets around the country were rightfully outraged by this, and I think one of the silver linings to these bills is a lot of media outlets have actually amped up their coverage of factory farm cruelty investigations. So we're actually seeing more media coverage as a result of these ag gag bills. Huh. But unfortunately, Iowa and Utah passed these bills last year. We're working with a coalition of groups, not just animal protection groups, but environmental groups, food safety groups, consumer rights groups, all trying to overturn these bills, and we think we have a good chance. We feel that these laws are unconstitutional, but the industry is going to keep trying to pass these laws because they see as the single biggest threat to their industries is exposure. When the public finds out what's happening on these farms, they no longer want to buy these products, and this is the way that they're combating that problem, by just trying to criminalize people who take pictures of animal abuse rather than criminalizing animal abuse. And in some of these bills, it's actually the penalty for taking a picture of animal abuse and publicizing it is equivalent to murder or rape, whereas animal abuse on these farms is oftentimes completely legal. So completely backwards situation that we're dealing with here, unfortunately.
I just want to take a step back real quick, Matt, and talk about Burger King. I know, I guess, amongst many vegetarians, they have a slightly better opinion of Burger King because they're one of the few fast food restaurants that has a veggie burger. You know, I think it's hard because we hear about these improvements that they have, India opening McDonald's restaurants that are vegetarian, and then you hear about McDonald's still serving fries that have beef products in it, and then this investigation of Burger King. I mean, what do you think is the trajectory now for fast food chains? You're making some progress now, but I mean, what are the major goals for you all, and what do you see really happening within, you know, the next few years and trying to change this perception of places like Burger King as a better option for vegetarians as opposed to some of the other fast food places?
It's a very good question. And first off, I'd like to state unequivocally, the best thing that people can do to help farmed animals is to simply stop eating them. But these, you know, companies like Burger King, it's very unlikely that these companies are going to go vegan anytime soon. So in the meantime, while we're convincing people to remove their support from these industries by adopting vegetarian or vegan diets, or at least reducing their meat consumption in that direction, we're asking these industries to make commitments to improving the ways that animals are treating, ending some of the worst forms of animal abuse. And Burger King has, to its credit, been a leader in this area, in the animal welfare field. They have committed to ending the use of gestation crates in their pork supply. So these gestation crates are tiny metal crates in which pregnant pigs are confined for nearly their entire lives in such a way that they can't turn around or even lie down comfortably. Burger King has come out ahead of a lot of other companies in demanding that pork producers end the use of gestation crates. Burger King has come out against battery cages for chickens. This is these tiny little cages where they cram up to 10 birds inside a cage the size of a filing cabinet drawer to spend her entire egg-laying life.
Well,
incredible amounts of cruelty, and Burger King has come out against that as well.
It's kind of strange, then, that Burger King would be so resistant to coming out against these dairy farms that are...
Absolutely, and it shocked us. We thought we would talk with Burger King and they would be open to this. We were surprised to find out that although Burger King has these animal welfare policies in place for their egg supply, for pork, for beef, they had no policies in place for their dairy supply whatsoever. And so we wanted to encourage them to implement these policies, common sense procedures, again, zero tolerance for animal abuse, such as kicking, punching, ending the practice of tail docking, providing a clean sanitary environment for cattle. You know, these are very common sense things, and we were very surprised to see that Burger King at first ignored us. Then when we showed them the video and said that we were going to be going public with it, they got back to us and basically refused to make any changes whatsoever. This surprised us. They kind of wanted to hide behind some of their past animal welfare policies and agreements, but we said, you know, that's great. But, you know, we need to continuously improve the industry. We can't just rest on what you did 5-10 years ago. And they refused to make any changes. So that's why we came out against them more publicly, have our website, BurgerKingCruelty.com, asking people to contact Burger King and tell them to implement standards for their dairy products as well. And we feel that there's a good chance. We think that Burger King will respond to public pressure if enough people contact them.
And it's not just you all that are saying this, right? I mean, you're backed by some experts that share your feelings about how dairy cows need to be treated. What are the experts saying?
That's right. Every time we do an investigation, we send it to independent animal welfare experts and veterinarians, including Dr. Temple Grandin, who's considered one of the foremost farmed animal welfare experts in the world, Bernard Rollin, who's a well-respected dairy farm expert. And these are people who are respected in the industry itself, so that, you know, these industries take them seriously. They don't see them as just your typical animal rights activists, but instead as industry representatives. And that's important. And these people are saying that the abuses that we've caught on tape are completely unacceptable. Dr. Temple Grandin spoke out against it vehemently, and we've posted her comments on our website. Dr. Bernard Rollin and a lot of other vets and experts said that the abuses that we caught on tape are unacceptable in the dairy industry. And Temple Grandin said that if this had been a federally inspected slaughterhouse, it would have been shut down. But because it was a farm, unfortunately, a lot of the abuses that we caught on tape are actually not illegal. We did find some illegal abuses, but there are no federal laws that protect animals during their lives on the farm. And most states specifically exclude farmed animals from any type of cruelty protection. They have what are called common farming exemptions. These are exemptions that say that if the industry says that it's a common farming practice, no matter how cruel it is, such as castration without any painkillers, then it's automatically deemed legal. So there's very few protection that these animals have. But what these experts were saying was that even despite the lack of laws protecting these animals, this facility was among the worst that they've seen.
Well, it's kind of interesting, too, that you bring it up that these are occurring on farms, because there's still this impression in the public that if it's a small farm, that these kind of atrocities aren't going to occur. So I found the video myself pretty shocking and disturbing, and didn't even watch the whole thing. And I just hope that some people will take a look at it, people that haven't seen this kind of thing before, so they can become aware of exactly what you're talking about. It's not a pretty sight to watch.
It's true. And we've done investigations at large-scale factory farms. We've done investigations at small local family farms with only a few hundred animals, you know, and we've documented cruelty and violence in every single case. One of our investigations at Conklin Dairy in Ohio, this place only had 200 cows, considered a small family farm, documented some of the worst violence that I've ever seen. Workers were actually stabbing cows with pitchforks, hitting them over the heads with crowbars. Just some of the worst abuse I've ever seen. So this type of violence is certainly not limited to these massive factory farms by any means.
It must be so hard, I imagine, for the investigators to not do anything at that moment and to really show restraint, because I'm just watching the videos and I'm fuming, you know, as these people are doing these things and then they turn around and smile about it, or, you know, they're laughing and joking about it. It must be really hard on you all.
It is a very difficult job, and the investigators who go into, in my opinion, there's no doubt they're absolute heroes. They have to witness violence and cruelty and horrors that few of us can even imagine. They have to witness it day in and day out, and unfortunately, the animals there before them, they're unable to do anything to help those animals. But we know that without the investigator there, there's nobody there to document these cases, bring it to law enforcement, and get these instances to stop, to work with companies to improve their animal welfare standards, to work with the legislators to strengthen and improve laws to protect animals, and most importantly, to show these images to the public and get the most powerful change of all, which is power to change our diets, to change the companies that we're supporting every time we sit down to eat. So we know there's a lot of good that comes out of these videos, but it is very difficult to understand that, yeah, those animals right there before us, there's simply nothing we can do for them, but we can help animals in the future by exposing these abuses and pushing for legal action.
We've been talking with Matt Rice, the Director of Investigations for Mercy for Animals. Could you give our listeners the web address for Mercy for Animals?
Yeah, go to mercyforanimals.org.
Thank you for being with us on Animal Concerns of Texas, Matt.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
To learn more about Mercy for Animals investigation, visit BurgerKingCruelty.com and look for the Change.org petition.
If you'd like to learn more about a plant-based diet, you can visit the Vegetarian Society of El Paso's website, VSEP.org, and join us for our Compassionate Thanksgiving Dinner on Saturday, November the 10th. Our guest speaker will be Matt Ball, founder of Vegan Outreach. Learn more at vsep.org about this Thanksgiving dinner.
And if you'd like to listen to some past shows of ACT Radio, you can find them at ktep.org. Just click on the Listen to Past Shows button.
Until next time, I'm Greg Lawson.
I'm Tom Linney.
And I'm Liz Walsh. For the Earth, the Animals, and a Healthier Humanity, thanks for listening to Animal Concerns of Texas.